Anyway, what I have been looking at and trying to follow, and of course it'll be of interest to so many of us, is the Maori contingent that went over to Cassino, went over to Italy for the 80th anniversary, the commemorations of the Battle of Cassino. And those of us who had a whānau, fathers and uncles and other whanaunga over there in the Second World War, we'd be very, very familiar with the Battle of Cassino. And I'm delighted this evening to be able to talk to somebody who has been there with the New Zealand contingent and also with our New Zealand Defence Force personnel who are there, plus, of course, Sir Bom Gillies, who is the last surviving member of the New Zealand Māori Battalion. So and they've been there at this commemoration anniversary for the Battle of Cassino, which is the 80th, I might add. It's the 80th. So, and I'm going to talk now to Pita Tipani. Tēnā koe, Pita. Nice to have you with us on Radio Wātea this evening.
E mere peka, tēnā koe, kōrero mai nei kiau, kei tēnei taha o te ao. It's going on to midday here, and I'm actually in Crete now. We came from Italy late last night and got here in the early hours of the morning. So we're now in the port of Kania on the coast, up on a fort, and we've got 9 jets from the Greek Air Force doing a show with coloured tails all over the sky. So it's, you can hear a lot of the noise in the background. It's those 9 jets just going overhead.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, you know, so it's a full-on tour that you're doing.
Well, this is the day, of course, that they observe the invasion of Crete around this very time, and the big airborne attack by the Germans on the island of Crete occurred on the 22nd of May, so everyone's attention is on this part, notwithstanding that we've just come away from the Battle of Monte Cassino, which is why you're calling me, but really it's all intertwined.
I didn't realise the actual day with Crete was on the 22nd of May. So you're actually there for on the actual 80th anniversary date.
No, this is the 83rd anniversary. We had come over for the 80th commemorations for the Battle of Cassino, fought in 1944. Yes. But, of course, the Battle of Crete was fought in 1941 at this very time of the year.
That's right. Well, there's certainly a lot happening there. And New Zealand contingent went with you? And I'm talking about perhaps our iwi and whānau, rather than the New Zealand Defence Force personnel. How many did we have there, in the party that's with you?
In our party, there's about 25. Overall, there was about double the amount, not counting the NZDF and government representatives, of course. So, say all up, there would have been about 100 of us here.
Oh, that's a very big amount.
It is. Mm. It's a big amount. I've come over with the Leadership Academy of A Company, which is based in Whangarei, and the school is modelled on the A Company, the Kamdigas. So I've come specifically with the boys, their cadets, and we've got a mission to help commemorate the Battle of Monte Cassino, and that's why we're here in Crete as well.
Yes, I was following something the other day about the Leadership Academy, and there were some young boys there, young men there, whose grandfathers had been over there at the Battle of Cassino, and so that must have been quite an emotional time. Actually, I suspect for everybody, but particularly for the ones who are the descendants of somebody who fought over there, and some of them may well have lost their lives over there as well.
Yeah, it's really quite overwhelming, whether they're your direct uncles, fathers, grandparents, or otherwise. Just knowing, for instance, that at Monte Cassino, and battle for the railway station, which 100, 200 troops from both A and B Company charged the railway station. And over the course of about 12 hours, approximately 140 of them were casualties of that attack. So when you're standing there on the railway station, knowing that this was the very place,
Yes, it would have been.
And the Germans had months and months to prepare for the attack, so our fathers and uncles were absolutely slaughtered.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, their courage is remembered.
Absolutely, their courage is remembered.
So, yeah, we were there to whakamana, whakarangatira, their sacrifice yesterday and over that whole campaign, of course.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And the sacrifice that they made, and many of them, of course, the young men that went away, they lied about their age so they could go, with some of their older cousins, and perhaps some of them might have thought there's a bit of an excitement going away to war, but certainly once they got into some of those battles, they would have I suppose you could say the excitement of going to war would have worn off damn quickly, and then they would have seen about they would have experienced the sadness and the futility of war.
Yeah, well, certainly Sir Bom Gillies is. Passed on some of those very messages, given that he was 17 when he came over as part of the reinforcements. And as he said to the boys, because the boys we've got with us, 15, 16, so they're slightly younger than when Bom himself came over. So he looks on them with much affection, and which is why they put so much time into looking after him, doing the haka for him, probably was more bigger than they ever would. Mm. And, as I say, it's really overwhelming, the whole thing.
Oh, yes, it would have been. And were there any, from your perspective, were there any disappointing aspects of the commemorations?
Yeah, I was. And look, these jets are right overhead. They're really powering it up. So, I'm even having difficulty hearing you, but I hope you can hear me. I was disappointed with aspects of the commemoration ceremony that was conducted yesterday. I didn't think that the NZDF sufficiently consulted with those of us who were over there. We certainly weren't going there to give them the sacrifice of our fathers and uncles to sit on the side and be passive observers. We came here as Māori and we expressed ourselves as Māori, and as a result we put ourselves forward into the program, whether it was acceptable or not.
Good on you.
We wanted to express ourselves in a way that we wanted to express ourselves. And as a result, I think we've got a lot to learn, that when we come away from Aotearoa, New Zealand, that we have a good talk, because when we front up over here in other parts of the world, we need to be all on cue and together.
Yes, well, you know something, you've raised a very, very good issue, I think, Peter, because there are people who are part of embassies overseas, and they sort of take charge of the program. And I do know that recently a friend of mine went to the United Nations, and she was appalled at the poor hiti that was given to the New Zealand contingent. And, it was absolutely appalled. And then one person had to step in and just say, no, that's not how we do it. You may be over here, but, we want to make sure that anybody observing us, and there were, we do it right. Now, you don't know enough about this, and, oh, my God. and you know, that got back to the New Zealand Embassy. You know, they've got well-meaning people, but they don't know who the visitors are. They haven't asked them what part in the program they'd like to play, and they certainly don't know enough about Te Ao Māori to say, we'll be, you know, we'll put the program together. We'll put it together. You know, we'll put a program together where everybody's got input, so that nobody feels that they've been slighted, they've been offended, that there's a lack of real understanding here. So yes, it's interesting that you should say that there might have been a bit of a, you know, some downside there where things could have been done differently and better.
Well, we remind ourselves as we travel around that we're with the last surviving veteran of the Tu'ai Māori Battalion. So we need to ensure that he is respected, that his mana is upheld, and anybody who even may suggest that mana is to be compromised, we're just going to find it absolutely unacceptable. So, we're standing strong on our own tikanga, as we need to, as we always do. So, Mene Pika, that was a disappointing part of our trip thus far.
Yes, and I guess, and you're right, you know, that would have been, it would have been noticeable to you. And, of course, we've got our Minister of Defence over there, Judith Collins, and, you know, well, I don't think we've had a Minister of Defence, a woman, for a long time.
Yeah, that's right. It was very moving when the Minister, Judith Collins, made her speech yesterday. She broke down and let us all know that her father was involved in the very same battle. So, yeah, we were moved, I went and acknowledged her for her words of respect and acknowledgement for Sir Bom and the Māori Battalion, and for all of those who served. But let's remember, Meripeka, as I remind the boys over here, and shortly after September the 1st in 1939, Mapuhi declared war on Germany.
Oh, God.
And how you know that is you can Google it and you'll see the headline was in the New Zealand Herald of the time. So that tells you something about how we viewed Te Tiriti o Waitangi, and that we were a sovereign nation who were declaring war on Germany even before our own government was, which then prompted my dad, his brother, their cousin Sir James Henare, to voluntarily enlist and join the 28 Māori Battalion. So as I related to the boys, this all comes back to rangatiratanga. And Apira Nangata described as the price of citizenship. But even Bom will tell you and tell people publicly that when he returned, he felt slighted, like they'd been used for a world war, and when he returned home, the Māori Battalion continued, and the Māori people continued to be disrespected. So let's remind ourselves of what's beneath all of this.
Yeah, no, and that was so true. They went and paid, many of them paid the ultimate sacrifice, and we went to do, you know, for king and God, for king and country, and we were just treated. Yeah, that was shocking. What I couldn't understand is that the Pākehā soldiers didn't jump up and down, and when the New Zealand Expeditionary Forces and others, why didn't they jump up and down to the government and say, you can't treat our brothers in arms who've come back now like us, wanting a better life for their families? I could never understand that, and that said to me something about the Pākehā New Zealanders that went to war, that didn't say when the Māori battalion came home and saw how they were treated, because they did see it, they weren't allowed, or very rarely did they go into the ballots for the land and everything else like that. Also, having a beer in the pub with their mates, couldn't do that. All that sort of bloody drama. And I was thinking, well, where were our Pākehā soldiers who returned servicemen? Why the hell didn't they stand and speak up for their Māori, fellow soldiers? That's always upset me.
Well, I think ultimately they didn't feel like second-class citizens as our uncles. In my case, my father, who was captured here on Crete, And now that we're here and we're opening another chapter in our trip, my focus is trying to find out a little bit more about our own father, who was captured here on June 1st, 1941.
Oh, well, so after Crete, then do you go back to London or do you start to head home then after that one?
We will start returning home. We'll head back to Athens in Greece, and then we'll spend a day in Doha before we fly back to our beautiful country, Aotearoa.
Well, there's certainly no place like home. But, you know, when you go over there, when you're being there, I haven't been, but, you know, when you see the crosses and then you see the names and then you see the New Zealand silver fern or whatever it is, perhaps, you know, you see it there and the poppies, it must be the futility of war. And in around the world now, there's still war going on. We just haven't learned to live in peace with our fellow man.
Certainly Bomb's message to the boys is he hopes that they will never ever face conflicts that he and his comrades faced. So that's a stark message from the last surviving veteran of the 28 Māori Battalion to this generation.
Absolutely it is, Peter. And it also puts the onuses back on our leaders, the leaders in our homes, the leaders in our schools and our businesses, and certainly in local and central government, that they need to ensure that the climate in our country is for people to work together harmoniously to make a better life for all New Zealanders, tau iwi me Māori. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time. It's been lovely talking with you, and I know I've dragged you away from, you know, called you away from where you were, but it's just been so, so great to be able to talk to you this evening.
Fantastic talking with you too, Merepeka. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora, thank you very much. And it really has been, it's been a privilege and a pleasure to talk to Peter Tipene, because he is there. He is absolutely there today. I mean, he was there over the weekend when they were commemorating the 80th anniversary of the Battle of Casino, Monte Cassino. And that occurred in 1944, so it's the 80th. And of course, now he's moved on. They've moved on to Crete, where they are also there, because they are commemorating the Crete, the Battle of Crete, and that's another commemoration that they're there for. And that occurs, I think, in the next on the 23rd of May, so a couple of days that they're there. Just great. And the other thing that is so wonderful for that contingent, for whānau and iwi that are going over there, is that they are accompanied by the last remaining Māori Battalion soldier, Sir Bomb Gillies, and he's accompanying them, or they're accompanying him, really. Let's put it that way. They're accompanying him. And then, of course, we've got people of the New Zealand Defence Force. But it would be fantastic. It would have been wonderful to go. I suspect I would have been crying most of the time, certainly when you come up and you see the all of the crosses and everything. But they've got stories to tell. And that academy, that leadership academy from up north, from Whangarei, they will be there. It will have moved them. And they are our young leaders of tomorrow. So let's hope that they take it all on board as well and they understand the futility of war. So we have to be vigilant, but we have to make sure we get the right leadership in the right place at all times to prevent what we know was the killing of our men in a faraway country.